For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with a shout-out to our audience in Mississauga, Ontario, number 47 on our list of cities for views. And in this, the 201st readout video from our Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, I offer the usual pitch for you to subscribe and contribute, and the usual pieties about net zero. Well, the former are from us, and the latter aren't. But we opened the newsletter this week with a story about a truck that rumbled past us the other day. I don't have a picture for you because I was driving with both hands on the wheel and neither on the phone, bearing the slogan, "On the Road to Net Zero." Oh, really? That destination doesn't permit that kind of truck, but they dutifully cheer on their own demise. And this oddly reminded me of the latest order of clothing that arrived from Amazon, also by truck, in a package claiming to be reducing carbon emissions. And the connection that struck me between them is that both of them are offering up these conventional pieties in an unconvincing, lackadaisical manner, as in the decadent phase of a state-imposed civic religion. It's like living in a society where it remains customary to offer oblations to the Olympian gods while not giving 2 seconds thought to what Hermes would want you to do or whether Zeus might really punish you for denying hospitality to strangers. Whether you call the modern version greenwashing or just hypocrisy, it is a rarity in the climate debate in that it irritates the zealots and the skeptics just about equally. The former grumble that all these corporations genuflecting before the sign of net zero are faking it while destroying the planet, and the latter that these corporations are shoring up bad public policy that in the end is going to destroy them anyway. And both sides are annoyed, and rightly annoyed, that this stuff is everywhere but it doesn't seem to mean anything. Because you can confront intransigence, or even ignorance, but what do you do with mush? In the newsletter, we also note that Michael Mann continues his slide into hysteria by saying, quote, "Warming today is hundreds of times faster than any warming in geological history," end quote. Bosh. The big problem here isn't that his claim is untrue, though it is, the warming at the end of the Younger Dryas having been much faster. Nor is the big problem that geological history relies on proxies far too imprecise to have the slightest idea what temperature changes might have happened on the scale of a century or two, though it does. The big problem is that this claim is insolently ridiculous. The supposed warming since 1850 has been less than 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's under 1 degree per century. So, if that pace were hundreds of times faster than anything in geological history, it would have to mean that it has never warmed on Earth by as much as 0.015 degrees Celsius in any century since, well, at least the Cambrian explosion of multicelled life some 560 million years ago. Which is such obvious rubbish that naturally the Harvard Gazette fawned all over Mann for saying it. In Mann's talk, he also said, quote, "I push back on doomism because I don't think it's justified by the science, and I think it potentially leads us down a path of inaction," end quote. Evidently, he doesn't push back hard enough because so many alarmists have said so many times that we had just 10 years to take decisive action, and somehow still have 10 years, that the audience might well conclude that it was actually too late and sink into paralysis, as many young people apparently have. But according to Mann, it isn't sincere if frantic alarmists who are causing this problem. No, indeed. It's evil, lying plotters. Quote, "Bad actors today who are fanning the flames of climate doomism because they understand that it takes those who are most likely to be on the front lines, advocating for change, and pushes them to the sidelines, which is where polluters and petrostates want them," end quote. See, it's this vast right-wing conspiracy, and only he can save personkind. Not that his ego is inflating at a record pace or anything. Hey everybody, I've got something new and exciting for you. Thanks to everybody who's been watching the channel and supporting it, we're in a position now to start a new feature, a live webinar, a discussion with an expert on climate change and on the debate on climate change. And our very first one is going to be with Roger Pilkey Jr., the honest broker, who's going to talk about the gatekeepers of climate orthodoxy and his own experience with Michael Mann making sure that a paper by Pilkey that Mann didn't like didn't get published. The webinar is free, but you have to register. Please click here and sign up. We are excited about this. We think it's just going to be the first in a long series, and we hope to see you there. In the newsletter, We also quote NBC that, quote, early hurricane season forecast suggests extremely high number of storms, end quote, based on something that isn't climate change, but of course is. Quote, sea surface temperatures have soared worldwide, setting new daily records for more than a year. The trend has puzzled ocean scientists, though it is likely spurred in part by climate change, end quote. So, it didn't puzzle journalists. But if the hurricane season is actually quiet, do you think they'll run a retraction of the prediction or the insinuation? We'll wait on that one. Ah, and from the Department of Not Thinking Before Speaking, The Guardian crows that, quote, the mainstay of casual conversation, the unexpected state of the weather, is under existential threat. Scientists plan to make forecasts so accurate they will be able to determine weather patterns a month into the future, end quote. Wait a minute. Weren't you all just telling us that they could determine the weather 80 years into the future? And speaking of seeing into the future, back in February, a green venture capitalist wrote in the New York Times that someone should buy land in Washington, D.C., quote, and put up a tall marble wall to serve as a climate memorial. Carve on this memorial the names of public figures actively denying the existence of climate change. Carve the names so deep and large our grandchildren and great-grandchildren need not search the archives, end quote. Well, yeah, I suppose that makes sense in case there's no internet in their brave new world. But before you get hysterical, and leaving apart that nobody denies climate change, there's a debate going on about the nature, extent, and causes of it, let's just imagine that someone did such a thing 100 years ago because they wanted to immortalize the opponents of some long-forgotten progressive craze like prohibition or eugenics. How do you think that thing would be holding up now? In the newsletter, we also note that the world is full of people telling you how to do things like beat the stock market, make a fortune in real estate, and so on. But if they really knew how to do it, they'd be doing it and making a fortune, not selling you the knowledge for a paltry sum. And if they really knew, your portfolio would be doing better, wouldn't it? Which brings us to the person in The Atlantic who confidently earns pennies a word telling us, quote, America's climate boom towns are waiting, end quote, instead of selling all that he has and purchasing a rusty-looking chunk of western Michigan in advance of what will apparently shortly be umpteen wealthy climate refugees bidding for pieces of it. Or so the models say. And here's another big picture thing. In the newsletter, we note that people's ideas about the world seem to correlate in such a way that, for instance, if you know somebody's attitude toward COVID restrictions, you can guess with remarkable accuracy their view of climate alarmism. Which made us take hostile notice of the Reuters Sustainable Switch newsletter on April 2nd that said, quote, this week opens with devastating news from Gaza as citizens from Australia, Britain, and Poland were among 7 people working for celebrity chef Jose Andres World Central Kitchen, WCK, who were killed in an Israeli airstrike in central Gaza on Monday, the NGO said, end quote. That has about as much to do with climate, or the environment more generally, as Florida's new abortion law, which they also condemned. Likewise, green parties are so reliably wrong on the Middle East that, for instance, Australia's Labour Party Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, who himself is so far off balance on the Middle East that he's willing to fund UNRWA, nevertheless found himself angrily denouncing a Green Party MP for speaking of Jewish groups' tentacles in politics, drawing on a classic anti-Semitic trope. Plus, Israel has a remarkable environmental record, including famously making the desert bloom. Why are Greens so hostile to it, and what does it tell you about their mentality more broadly? Also in the big picture, an alert reader wrote to ask us, quote, the word climate is used all the time, usually as climate change. Presumably there is somewhere a strict definition of climate, but I have not found it. It seems to me that any discussion of climate change is pointless without a strict definition. My question is, do you have a definition, and if so, what is it, end quote. And, after a moment of gesticulating awkwardly about it being obvious, we did something that too few journalists and commentators seem capable of in today's wired world, a term here meaning wireless. We Googled, what is climate, and got a lovely set of definitive answers that, regrettably, didn't match one another. From National Geographic, under All About Climate, which is surely a bit of an ambitious heading, we got, quote, climate is the long-term pattern of weather in a particular area, end quote. From NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, under the heading Understanding Climate, we learned instead that, quote, climate is the long-term state of the atmosphere at a particular location, in a sense the average weather over a long period of time. Climate varies significantly around the globe and not randomly, end quote. Okay then, how long is long-term? How large is a particular location? Why only in a sense? That breeze you feel is from all the hand-waving. Now, both Wikipedia and Britain's Met Office opted for the period of time being 30 years. But then why do alarmists point to recent single years or single events and say they're proof of changes in climate? Surely what we need to be doing is comparing 30-year blocks, right? And if they vary, well, we're not the deniers saying climate was essentially stable until 1988. And another thing. If the particular location in question is the entire Earth, which it usually seems to be when we talk about climate change, it's a big and complicated place where some regions may have fairly stable weather for quite a long time, whereas elsewhere it changes so constantly that they make jokes about if you don't like the weather, just wait, it'll be different tomorrow. But if you could create some kind of mentally comprehensible yet not oversimplified summary of the Earth's climate from 1995 to 2024, presumably you could also create similar ones stretching back a considerable distance, and then compare them to see whether there were meaningful patterns, cyclical or linear, reassuring or frightening. If you can't, as our correspondent said, there's nothing to discuss. But if you can, and it turns out that weather was frequently awful, that it's fluctuated since long before the steam engine, then you've learned some useful things, including that humans did not cause climate change, and nor has whatever influence we may have recently had made it even worse than it used to be. So yes, it's worth defining your terms, and thank you for the question. Oh, and in last week's installment of our Getting Worse series, we showed data from the NOAA website that poured cold lack of water all over the idea that more and more of the US is experiencing extremely wet conditions. Of course, someone might fire back that the real problem isn't wetness, it's dryness. Doesn't everybody know that the climate crisis means more and more areas are suffering from lack of moisture, not too much of it? Or both, because the problem is extreme weather and anything will do? Okay, we'll go to the same source and check for drought. Guess what? Here's the record of the percentage of the US classified as very dry every month from 1895 to the present. Here, the trend line is actually down slightly, at 0.001% per month, or 0.012% per year, which is proof, not of improvement, but of nothing at all, because a number that small is not statistically distinguishable from zero. So, once again, cancel the panic, because it's not getting worse. And another thing. If you haven't seen Martin Durkin's new documentary, Climate the Movie, The Cold Truth, you should. Now, we reject the hoax language with which it begins, but then we turn to the facts presented in the movie because, ironically, ferocious battles have been fought online where critics say that the people in the movie who are accusing alarmists of peddling a hoax are themselves peddling a hoax. So, put aside the name-calling and look instead at the claim that over the past 500 million years, the world has mostly been warmer than at present, sometimes a lot warmer. And our fact check says it's true. Obviously, overwhelmingly, indisputably so. On that point, here's the record from that hotbed of climate non-denialism, the US government's climate.gov website. As you see, there was an interval before the Triassic, from about 260 to 360 million years ago, when the Earth was intermittently as cold as it has been recently. But even then, it fluctuated frequently and dramatically upward toward the no-polar ice line. And generally, it has spent most of the period since the emergence of complex multicellular life being too warm to sustain ice caps even in polar regions. So yes, it's current conditions that are unusually cold. As for the past 65 million years, the same website shows the following record. Clearly, it's mostly been warmer than today. But there have been times in the last few million years, that's the Pleistocene epoch, or Ice Age, that we're still in, but an immersively warmer interglacial, that were colder than today. So, Dr. Matthew Wilecki in the film is right about everything more than about 2.5 million years ago. But he's not right about the repeated glaciation since the temperature plunged for natural reasons, because since then it's continually fluctuated for natural reasons, often to temperatures lower than today. Finally, in our usual trip down the CO2science.org archive, memory lane, a paper checking a 2005 study saying that without human intervention, we'd have been heading back into another glaciation by now. And the study concludes that it could well be true, meaning that if we are warming the planet, it's a darn good thing. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, asking, how do you like them CO2 molecules?